Our gospel reading today is taken from the Gospel of Luke. You could follow on the screens behind me or your Bibles if you have it. I'm going to be reading just a short section from Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." This is God's word. Let's pray. Father, thanks for your presence with us this morning. Thank you that you powerfully speak through your word to our hearts, to our lives, Lord, that it is the thing that shapes us by the power of your Spirit. So we pray that you would shape us here this morning as we encounter you and your word. We pray all this in Christ's name. Amen. If you've been with us the past couple weeks, you'll know that we've been looking at meal passages or passages centered around meals in the Gospels, and particularly in the Gospel of Luke. One commentator said that for Luke, Jesus is either going to a meal, at a meal, or coming from a meal. That's how central that kind of motif is to Luke as he tells the story of Jesus. And we've been looking at these stories. I had somebody from the church tell me this week as she sat in this, hearing these sermons, she's left hungry each week because we keep talking about food. But what we've seen is that these meals were always controversial. You see, who Jesus chose to dine with was very controversial in his day. And what he taught when he was dining with these people was also controversial. And this week's passage doesn't necessarily surround a meal itself, but it does surround a small family controversy about meal preparation. And what Jesus did is he used this small family controversy to teach about the very values of the kingdom of God. A few years back, it's hard for me to even remember now, but a few years back before Beck and I had kids, we were both working. I was working at my first church job, and she was a school teacher at that point. And it was the practice of the church that I had worked at to have Mondays off. So often Monday would be my day off, but my wife was teaching. So I was trying to figure out how to be a good husband at this point, and we were always figuring out who was doing the meal preparation. Well, I said, "Well, I have Monday off, so why don't you let me do the meal preparation on Mondays?" I had no idea what I was promising. I remember that first Monday, I picked up the cookbook, and it looked like it was in an absolute foreign language. I couldn't understand what it said and what it wanted me to do, and I probably called my wife three or four times while she was teaching just to try to figure out how to buy the stuff to make this meal happen. And after weeks and weeks of failure, I finally did it. I finally produced an edible meal, and I can remember it was salsa chicken pasta, and it was great. I mean, we were all so celebratory that I'd actually figured this out. Well, because of that, every Monday from that Monday on for an entire year, we ate salsa chicken pasta. It was all about the meal preparation. Well, our story tells us that Jesus entered a village, and he went to the home of two sisters, Mary and Martha. They were the ones that got to welcome Jesus into their home that day. And we know from later on the Gospels that these two sisters and their family played a very pivotal part in the life of Jesus. But this is the first story in which we are introduced to them. And we don't know exactly why, but we know that Martha took it upon herself. She was the one that was going to deal with all the preparations, and specifically the meal preparation. The Gospel doesn't tell us, but I'm willing to bet that Martha was the older sibling. And her little sister Mary was the one who didn't do anything in terms of meal preparation. Instead, the passage tells us that little sister Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet. Now, every time I read this passage, it always surprises me. And that's because for me, the hero of the story is not the person that you would expect it to be. One would think that Martha, the one who is working really hard, the one who is serving as best as she can, would be the hero in the story. But instead, Mary is the one who is honored by Jesus, the one who made the right choice. Whenever Luke tells us stories like this, where he describes two paths, he always wants us to leave wondering. Which one would we be in this story? So what I'd like to look at this morning is, why did Martha choose poorly? Why did Mary choose wisely? And what would you have chosen had you been there that day? So the first thing is, why did Mary choose poorly? Now we know from the passage it tells us that, we know from the passage it tells us that Martha was anxious, she was troubled, and she was distracted with doing what we all would say is the right thing. Verse 40, it tells us, but Martha was distracted with much serving. Now if you've been with us throughout this series, you'll know that hospitality was almost a sacred function in Jesus' day. The culture demanded that caring for a visitor was the strict duty of each person. And it also had a religious component of Jesus' day as well. The Jewish religion elevated the hospitality of visitors and guests to a sacred level. It was a chief obligation. So one knew that to honor God would to be hospitable to strangers and guests. This is what loving one's neighbor as oneself was all about. So Martha was doing what she was supposed to do. She was doing her religious and cultural duty. To her, everything had to be perfect and in order. After all, this was no regular guest. This was Jesus. He was the great teacher. He was the great miracle worker. This was God in the flesh dwelling amongst us. This was the most important guest that Martha had ever hosted, and she needed to be on her game. She needed to pull out all the stops, and her sister wasn't helping at all. Imagine for a moment that you had some sort of dinner date or something, and that you were about to host someone very important, maybe a dignitary or someone of circumstance or significance in your life. You would probably begin cleaning the home weeks in advance. You'd begin preparing the meal and figuring out the grocery list weeks in advance. Everything would need to be in its place because you would want to impress the guest that you have invited. Well, this guest was God himself, God in the flesh. So the least you could do is vacuum up the place in advance. You see, we don't know exactly what is going on in Martha's heart because Luke is very matter-of-fact about how he tells this story. But I really believe that there is a spiritual parallel that is in this story and a spiritual danger that is in this story as well. The spiritual parallel is the dangerous thought that we somehow need to clean up our lives before God will be willing to enter in. You see, the scriptures are clear about a lot of things, but one of the things that they are very clear about is that we have made a mess of our lives. In our sin, we have rebelled against God's perfect will. We have chosen to go our own way, to be our own gods, to be our own authority. We have violated God's law. We have broken his covenant. We have fallen short of his demands. We have made a mess of things. We've done it as a collective humanity, and we've done it individually as well. And the greatest deception is the thought that we could somehow clean up our mess. That somehow we could clean ourselves up to a degree that we could somehow earn God's entrance back into our lives. You see, we clean our homes when guests come because we want to do what? We want to impress them. But we are deceived into thinking that we could somehow clean up our lives or boost our spiritual resume enough in order to impress God. It is a massive deception that we often live under because we are far more sinful than we ever realize. We are far too messy. But of course, this is where the good news of the gospel sings so sweetly. Because the good news of the gospel tells us that Jesus is in the business of entering into people's mess. Jesus isn't repulsed by crumbs in the carpet and dishes piled up in the sink. Jesus isn't turned off by beds that are not made or laundry that is piled up because it hasn't been folded. Jesus doesn't scoff at toys and shoes and belts and dirty clothes strewn about our homes. Instead, the gospel tells us that Jesus enters into the mess in order to redeem us. The gospel tells us that Jesus left the bliss of heaven to enter into the mess of humanity. He did it so that he could redeem or buy back his creation. He sacrificed himself for his people who had made a mess of things. He did it so that he could pour his grace and forgiveness into the messiness of our lives and take something that was messy and make it into something that is beautiful. So the dangerous thought that somehow we can clean ourselves up, we also learn, is self-centered. It's a self-oriented way to live life. Just look at Martha's words that she speaks here. It tells us that she was anxious and troubled because she was concerned only about herself. And friends, you see, the more self-oriented we are, the more anxious we become. She says in verse 40, she went up to Jesus and she said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me? Tell her to help me." You see, this is what self-salvation strategies do to us. They turn us in on ourselves. But deep down, we know that those self-salvation strategies are never enough. Instead, they only ever leave us anxious and troubled. So there's a spiritual parallel here, but there really is also a great spiritual danger here. And the danger is that we can get so caught up in our duty that we somehow miss Jesus. Just a few chapters later in the book of Luke, Jesus tells the parable of the prodigal son, and it's really about two sons. One son is the younger son, the one that squanders his inheritance on lavish living. He offends and shames his father by his behavior. And what the passage tells us is that he later repents. His heart wakes up and he realizes what he's done. So he doesn't try to clean himself up. He doesn't try to sugarcoat things. Instead, he runs back to his father, up to his ears in mess, and receives the sweet embrace of his father's forgiveness. And there is a great feast and a great celebration that is thrown because of it. But there's an older son in the story as well. And the older son never joins in on the celebration. Instead, he's trapped in his duty. You see, after all, he's the dutiful, the righteous, and the good son. His brother is the one that is messy. He's the one that has lived his life in a perfect, put-together order. But he is just as lost. He's lost in his duty, and because of that, he misses the celebration. Friends, Martha in our story was also lost in her duty. Because she was lost in her duty, she missed out on the sweetness of Jesus. Friends, this is a constant danger for you and I, for people of faith. The drift to make our faith about our duty is always there. And when we do it, we reduce the faith to what we are doing for God. We reduce the faith to be all about striving dutifully to please Him. And the center point of our faith becomes things like small group attendance and church attendance. It becomes about giving patterns and volunteerism or about mission trip participation. You see, all these things are wonderful things, but even these duties cannot become the center point of our faith. So what should be? Well, Mary shows us in this passage. Second thing we see is why Mary chose wisely. Verse 39, "And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching." You see, friends, Mary chose wisely because in that moment, she had become captured by Jesus. She didn't care about herself in that moment. She lived with abandon. She lived in this sort of freedom of self-forgetfulness. She didn't allow her messiness to get in the way of sitting at Jesus' feet. She understood, maybe she was the only one, the true nature of why Jesus came, that he came to be a refuge for sinners. She didn't allow cultural or religious pressures to get in the way of sitting at Jesus' feet. She didn't allow her own religious duty to get in the way. Instead, she just sat at Jesus' feet and basked in the glory. One of my favorite things to do to relax, and this might sound weird, and it's what makes me weird, but one of the my favorite things to do to relax is to get lost running out on a trail. In fact, that's one of my favorite things to do, is to just go out on a trail, whether it's Loch Raven Reservoir or some trail in this neighborhood, and just get lost running and thinking and just being alone for a little while. And I always struggle a little bit as to whether I should bring my phone with me. You know, what if I get injured and I got to call somebody in the middle of the woods? But inevitably what I do is I always see other people out on the trail. And one of the more tragic things I see is often I'll see people a mile or two in the middle of the woods texting on their phone or answering email or even talking on their phones sometimes or trying to get the best kind of Instagram picture of the nature that is all around them. And it's sad to me because often what happens is they miss out on the beauty and the grandeur of nature because they're distracted with answering an email on their phone. You see, friends, Martha's head was buried in her phone. She was lost in the duty and the obligation. She was distracted by all the concerns and worries of her culture and her religion. She was trapped in her selfishness, and she missed the beauty that was right in front of her at that moment. But not Mary. Mary was the one who was basking in the glory. She was soaking up the beauty of the sun setting over the mountain vista. She sat at the feet of her Savior, every word, every gesture. She was drinking in the glory and the beauty of a Savior. One of the things that Tim Keller always says is that religious people find God useful, but true believers in Jesus Christ find God beautiful. See, Mary becomes the picture in this story of what it means to be a disciple. She sat at Jesus' feet and she listened. So which one are you? Which one are you in this story? Do you lead that anxious, busy, distracted, dutiful life of Mary? Or do you sit in the presence of Jesus and bask in his glory? Luke tells us earlier about a parable that Jesus told about seeds, the nature of the kingdom being spread out on different soils and how it's received. And Jesus said this in Luke chapter 8, "But as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with repentance." Friends, when the truth of God is proclaimed, will you be like Martha, distracted by duty, self, religion, and cultural noise? Or will you be like Mary? Will you hear the truth? Will you hold it fast? Will you sit at the feet of Jesus, basking in the grace and forgiveness that is found in him? Let's pray.